Today on the Syneos Health Podcast, we'll be talking about how COVID-19 affects payers. I'm Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. Insurance companies are surely affected by COVID-19. What does that mean for manufacturers as they engage with these payers that have to make decisions based on uncertain information, changing amounts of revenue that are coming into them, and how much they're going to pay out at the back end? I'll be talking today with Adrian Garcia and Catherine C. Catherine is the head of Managed Markets Communications here at Syneos Health. Adrian works with Catherine as head of Managed Markets Communications at GSW, which is an ad agency that's a very large one owned by Syneos Health. Adrian and Catherine conducted a survey recently to ask payers what COVID-19 means for them. Payers and COVID-19 next on the Syneos Health Podcast. Adrian Garcia, Catherine C., welcome to the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
I've worked with both of you. What do you do for the company?
This is Catherine. My title is EVP Managing Director of Syneos Health Managed Markets. So I lead our Managed Markets marketing independent offering within Syneos Health. So we're a full-service Managed Markets agency.
And I am Adrian Garcia. And I lead the Managed Markets division as part of GSW, which is based out of Columbus, Ohio, and New York, and other places. Our goal is to provide complete customer perspective for a brand. So we focus not just on the healthcare professional and the consumer, but also bringing in the payer perspective into our market access and market communications.
Both of you work with payers, and both of you work with payers to understand how they think. And specifically, you've been talking to payers recently. COVID-19 isn't what a payer normally deals with. Even with the 2009 H1N1 flu epidemic, it wasn't this. What are you hearing from payers?
Well, it really depends on what kind of payer you're talking to. I think that's the first thing that Catherine and I learned, is that if you're talking to your standard managed care organization or commercial health plan, it's kind of business as usual, so to speak. They're still planning on the schedule that they had at the beginning of the year. Now, that changes dramatically if you're talking to an integrated network, an IDN, or some type of a closed system. Obviously, they're dealing with things much differently. They're facing the challenges of COVID-19 day in and day out. And so, from their perspective, things are kind of on pause from a business-as-usual perspective with manufacturers.
How do you know this?
Well, we actually took a quick survey. We fielded a survey of about 20 payers, a mix of national and regional accounts, as well as a few IDNs, to better understand what their days look like today, knowing that things are dramatically different for the majority of Americans, if not all Americans right now. We wanted to understand what that meant to payers and ultimately how manufacturers may be able to help in this time.
Okay, so you said their schedules are the same. When you talk about schedules, you're talking about P&T committee reviews, the committees that decide whether or not the products are going to be on formulary. When you say things are basically normal for the typical health insurance company that we think about, rather than those that are hospitals and have those kind of pressures, what do you mean by normal? What is it that isn't changing?
I'll jump in here. So I think what isn't changing is their regularly scheduled P&T committee meetings that you just mentioned, their formulary decisions, their inclusion and exclusion list that they'll be creating. They are able to work remotely, very much like a lot of other folks, including the three of us, are doing right now. So they're using heavily the technology applications that many of us are using. We actually asked which they're using most often, and the three that were mentioned most often were WebEx, Zoom, and Skype. There were some people using Microsoft Teams as well. So they're able to continue to conduct business so they can interact with their internal colleagues as well as with manufacturers. And so we think it's really important that manufacturers continue to keep engagement high, knowing that payers are going to continue to need the information and the resources that they bring, because they are going to be moving forward making the decisions that they would be making on a regularly scheduled basis.
When we work with different groups that are going from manufacturers to talk to payers, the so-called NAMs, national account managers, that talk to these large payer groups, sometimes it's just an email, sometimes it's a phone call, and sometimes it's in person, but it depends on the different payer. I wonder if it's changed life very little for a lot of these payers because they already had given the Heisman to the different NAMs that are out there.
I don't know that it changes dramatically for a majority of them. You're absolutely right, Jeff. A lot of interaction is done digitally or over the phone. Fewer and fewer meetings happen face-to-face, unless they're at conventions, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. I do think the one thing that manufacturers need to be aware of is now that almost every engagement is going to be in this environment, this digital environment over the next foreseeable future. How is your content prepared for that format? Catherine and myself are big believers that the days of the 70-page slide deck are way over. And you have to actually look at your content even more closely now in a digital platform. How is that content going to come across when they're using Zoom or Skype or WebEx? Everything has to be developed in a manner that they can actually read and actually look at the content and be able to actually see it.
I wouldn't know how to make something and say, well, I'm used to making a PowerPoint presentation, but now I have to have a PowerPoint presentation that works well with Zoom. I would have thought those were one and the same, so obviously I'm missing something. What is it that I'm missing?
I'd like to compare it to sitting in the back of the classroom and trying to read your professor's slide about 20 years ago when you and I were in college. Okay, longer than that. Yes, I know that. But were you able to see the four-point font that he was trying to fit or she was trying to fit on that slide? Probably not. The same can be said on your computer, on the laptop, when you're presenting digitally. You may think that your screen looks great, but you don't know what screen that other person, the other audience has up, how big, how small it is. You have to plan for the type of screen, the type of devices that are likely to be used by your customers. It's really focused on the creative design, the layout of the content, as much as it is what's on the slide.
Well, I was in college 20 years ago, but I was also in college 30 years ago. So I'm not sure that that's, that's any really, since I'm young. So yeah, I remember those slides, and you call them slides. They were transparencies written on with a marker and very small and very different. How big do I have to make my font so that people are happy on Zoom? Now I'm scared.
I think it's less about the size of the font and more about what you're trying to communicate. And that's what Catherine's group and my group really focuses on, is making sure that what you're presenting, it's telling the story that you're trying to communicate. When we develop pieces and materials that are designed to be delivered face-to-face, it requires a different layout. It requires a different formatting. Digital is a completely different environment that we have to plan for. There's not one size that fits all. I can't tell you to use a size 12 font and you're going to be fine. It's really looking at the platform, what you're trying to communicate, and ensuring that it's going to be received in every platform that you're trying to deliver it in.
It's true. And I think also, besides just the format of the content, how are you delivering it and how are you engaging your customers, in this case, payers, in that content? So, you know, a lot of times an account manager might go with their MSL, medical science liaison, and they have a presentation, a live presentation with a group of payers. What other technology platforms exist that you can still have that larger group of people together to encourage dialogue, to encourage discussion? You might also think about bringing a KOL in a particular space, because one of the things in our research that payers noted that they're missing is that internal interaction with their teams, the dialogue that they find really helpful and important in making formulary decisions. And so how can manufacturers really increase the engagement with the content that they're creating as well? So I think to Adrian's point, there's a lot to consider. And maybe there are new and different ways to tell the story. Maybe it's not an hour-long presentation. In marketing, we like to call smaller pieces of the story more snackable content. So are there ways to frame up certain portions of the story that you find particularly relevant in these times or particularly relevant to a particular payer? How can you create that in a way that'll be engaging and memorable for your customer?
So some of the times that I've seen at least practices for different NAM payer engagements and mock payer engagements with real payers and real NAMs. So I'm trusting that even though I've not been in that room, that this looks like that room. It goes something like this. There are clinical people that get up and give a clinical presentation that might last 10 minutes. There are some very pointed questions from the payers. And then there's a discussion, or at least later, there's a discussion, potentially, this is held offline, not necessarily in the same room at the same time, on what is it that the ask is from the NAMs. That is, we want non-preferred status, just like this other competitor. We're not asking for anything too much. And here's the offer that we're putting on the table for that. It's a generous offer. You should take it. Is that basic playbook still the playbook? Is that basic playbook even real now that we have COVID-19?
Unfortunately, that makes it sound very simple and it seems like an easy role or responsibility for the national account manager or the account manager to deliver the value story. But ultimately, that's the simplified process. And our goal is to make that NAM's story, that account manager's story of value so meaningful that the offer that you speak of is much less than it would have to be without that story. We have to increase the value of the product beyond the clinical aspects. What else does it deliver to the health plan? What else does it deliver to the provider? What else does it deliver to the patient that will enable better success of their population on this medication versus standard of care, versus a competitor, or versus nothing at all? And so our goal is to create the story for that brand that makes that conversation a lot easier for the NAM to have and create more value for that product long term.
Is that always been the case, though? Nothing's changed for COVID to make that. That just is what you should do. Am I missing something on that, or is COVID somehow?
No, nothing's changed as far as how they're looking at value from a COVID standpoint. I think what's changed, and Catherine, you can jump in on this as well, is there's other ways that a manufacturer beyond a product can help payers in this critical time. Payers are thinking about other things than they would normally be thinking about. They're thinking a lot about supply chain, potential shortages. It can be as simple as reinforcing to a payer that if you've got a chronic medication or if you've got a medication that's required to keep public health maintained at this time when patients can't get to the doctors very often, that you don't have any issues from a supply chain standpoint, from a distribution standpoint. Are there medications that are going to be increased in utilization because of all the hospitalization outside of just the required medications around the patient suffering COVID? What are the other comorbidities that they're going to be thinking about that patients are going to have to be treated for while they're in the hospital? If you've got a product that is meant for that type of a space, that type of environment, you need to reinforce your efforts there and reinforce your supply chain there as well. Kathy, there's a couple other ones that we talked about as well, if you want to talk about those.
Sure, absolutely. Other things that are on the minds of payers right now are loss of revenue, and that would be true for traditional payers, as most Americans, more than half of Americans, get their insurance through their employer. As we are seeing more and more unemployment and jobless claims, less people are insured. So there's a concern of reduction in premiums. Obviously, when you're talking about an IDN or a health system that's also delivering care, there are a lot of elective surgeries and a lot of other types of interventions and care that are being postponed or delayed. And they're, of course, missing the revenue from that. Also, we're seeing that the reimbursement for a Medicare patient is not really going to cover the cost necessarily of the hospitalization. So most hospitals are going to lose money on every COVID-19 patient that they treat. So revenue is certainly something that's on their minds. Telehealth utilization has been obviously a big topic. Payers have done a lot to try to reduce the cost sharing for patients. Healthcare providers are increasing their capacity and their availability of telehealth options. So a lot of that is on their minds. Hospitalizations, readmissions. There are a lot of things that payers are thinking about that are certainly complicating the landscape and complicating the job that the account managers have to do. They have to cut through a lot of that and figure out what are the relevant messages and what are the ways that they can add value to help payers in these difficult times. Another thing that I'm sure is on the mind of manufacturers, of course, is they're going in and demonstrating the value of their products, which is such an important component of that multi-step process that you laid out a few minutes ago, Jeff. And at the end of that process, you talked about a discussion on a rebate or some sort of deal with the payer. Of course, every dollar that's included in that is an impact to the gross to net that the manufacturers are bringing in. They're going to have other gross to net challenges in this time of COVID. As providers are stretched, they're going to be looking to more heavily utilize their 340B option. We're going to see a shift from commercial insurance to Medicaid. We talked about a lot of folks who are currently or were getting their insurance through their employer that are now unemployed. They'll be shifting potentially to a Medicaid plan, and that, of course, has a lower gross to net for manufacturers. There's the potential that patients who used to have insurance don't now. They're going to be utilizing the patient support programs more extensively. So there are a lot of things on the manufacturer's mind, I'm sure, regarding their gross to net and being able to protect that. So they really have to be able to focus on ensuring the value of their products to payers to minimize any potential impact that they might have there or additional impact that they might have as everyone's concerned about loss of revenue.
Yeah, and if I can double click on that, Jeff, real quick, I think that's a very important thing for a lot of our clients, at least, and I know Catherine's as well. As you see these patients with chronic diseases start to potentially lose their employment status and the challenge that they have for affording their chronic medications, you've seen a lot of health plans mobilize against this idea of removing copays and ensuring that patients can have their medications. You've seen companies in the insulin space, for example, reinforcing the solutions. I think one thing manufacturers can and should absolutely do in light of this environment with the skyrocketing jobless claims and the unemployment and the challenges that are presented to the entire public is to reinforce the solutions that they've developed to help patients manage their affordability of products. There's a lot of chronic medications out there that have developed really nice solutions and tools that aren't well promoted, that I think that they should really reinforce not only the availability of those things to the members, but also the value of those to the keeping the patients on the chronic medications that they need to stay on.
This may be an unfair question, but I don't have a completely good sense of what kind of financial trouble, if any, insurance companies are in. I can see obvious pressures, but I have to assume that they also have reinsurance for something as big as COVID-19. So I don't know if they're really in the middle of a meat grinder where whatever insurance premiums they take in are going down. That seems obvious because fewer people have commercial insurance. So that will be problematic for them, to say the least. Their costs are going up, but I think that they may be backstopped by reinsurance. But it isn't going to be a good year. So from what you understand, is that changing what products that they care about, what their priorities are when a manufacturer comes up and asks for access at a level? Is it changed basically to price sensitivity? Or is it too early to tell?
For me, it's a little too early to tell. As you said, Jeff, it's not going to be a stellar year. We would expect that they're going to have to do things like increase premiums in 2021. And they're probably going to scrutinize what drugs they're going to cover and for what price. I would think that there might be some additional tension in the system when it comes to interactions between manufacturers and payers. And that's why, you know, I think we're talking about the need for manufacturers to really keep that flow of information high and that delivery of the value messages high to payers. I don't have any real sense yet of the specifics about what the priorities of the payers are going to be and where there might be more squeezing versus others. But Adrian, you may have a different perspective.
The key word that you said, Catherine, and I agree completely, is there's elevated tension. They're going to be looking at a lot of different things. I agree. I think it's too early to identify one or two places where they're going to put pressure on manufacturers. And so I'm a big believer that offense is the best way to play, be offensive. And so the more proactive you are about how you're helping those plans mitigate some of the challenges that we've outlined, if not others, that they may identify through their conversations, interactions, I think is key. Reinforcing the value, reinforcing the solutions, reinforcing how you're helping mitigate some of the things that we know that are at the top of their concerns, like the things we talked about in increased hospitalization, pharmacy utilization, affordability of medications. So as that tension elevates, it creates an opportunity for you to be on the offensive, I believe, as a manufacturer, instead of letting somebody else own the narrative and wait to understand what it is to be more proactive.
You talk about going on offense, Adrian. One of the places where we do go on offense a lot is at conferences. Conferences ain't happening in the same way that they used to. Catherine, when we go out and talk to payers at conferences, what's happening now?
As you said, it's not happening. And interestingly enough, when we did our survey, we asked about that. And we asked payers to rank some of the top things that are impacting them. Tied for first place was cancellation of conventions. Payers really rely on things like AMCP, Asembia, ISPOR, those types of industry conferences to get input, just to understand what their peers are thinking, to get input from manufacturers, the latest updates, new products, new technologies. And they rely on that as a big source of information from them and to help them with their decision making. And so in the absence of that, they're pretty concerned about having limited resources available at their fingertips and things that they would usually have as they're facing, you know, really important decisions. For us, recommendations to manufacturers would be don't take your foot off the gas now, continue to engage and offer those types of opportunities to engage with peers potentially or KOLs or scientific colleagues, you know, really be the source of that continued information flow for these payers, because sort of surprising, I think, a little bit to me was just how highly they ranked that amongst other things that could be concerning for them. They ranked missing the conventions or canceled conventions tied for number one. So it's really important for manufacturers to understand that and to understand how they can help resolve that for payers.
Well, Catherine C., Adrian Garcia, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for being on the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's all for today's episode of the Syneos Health Podcast.
I'm your host, Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting.
If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher.
If you have comments, suggestions, questions, or if you just want to talk through a particular challenge that you're having at your life sciences company, you may email me at podcast@syneoshealth.com. We're consultants. That's what we do.